Welcome to the Kevin and Philip Project, a podcast with two guys who love to eat, travel, talk sports, and have no idea how to raise teenage girls. Coming to you live from Salina, Kansas. Here are your hosts, Kevin and Philip.
Okay, here we are, season 5, episode 14, again at the on the patio in the back of Great Life. Thanks for Great Life for sponsoring us in the past. Just like we mentioned at the end of the Coach O conversation that we just published a week or so ago, we got some players with us tonight. And we were actually just talking about this before we got on the air, or before we started recording this podcast, about how I think a lot of people in Salina don't know the players. And so we wanted to try to get some players on here with us and have you guys know the players a little better than you have in the past. And so we've got three of them with us. I don't know. I feel like I'm outnumbered. They're all staring at me.
A total combined weight of about 750 pounds. Yeah. Is that what I'm guessing?
Damn.
And I'm not even going to – I was throwing me in there too, though. Throwing me in there. No. We got some couple of big guys that are, and we'll find out what your positions are.
Yep.
And then we got Kendall, who's not as big as the other two dudes.
Yeah.
So, but added together, we're not going to all ride in the same elevator.
Yep. So what we'd like to start with is, and we'll start with you, Pika, here, just give us maybe just a 3 or 4 minute background, where you came from, why the hell you're in Salina, Kansas, and let us know a little bit about you.
Okay, well, first off, I would like to thank Kevin and Philip for having us out here. It's truly an honor and blessing. And also, I'm from Asheville, North Carolina, Blue Ridge Mountains. So it's very beautiful out there. And I spent my professional days playing arena football for the Green Bay Blizzard up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, 2022. And then for the Billings Outlaws last year. Actually, me and my buddy KJ right here, we played together up there. We already have a, you know, knowing about each other.
Right,
so.
During the Yellowstone phase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Six guys. Yeah. Not. I don't see a lot of football players on Yellowstone, though.
No, sir.
So you guys didn't make the cut for an extra or anything like that on the show? Wasn't. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, sir. And well, I went to a bunch of colleges. I went to University of South Carolina at first, played in the SEC for my first year. And then for my second year of college, I went to James Madison University. And then ended up doing the rest of my years at Benedictine College out in Atchison, Kansas.
Yep.
So I know the Kansas land. I'm very familiar around here. So, yes, sir.
Yep. And so
Position. Yeah. Well, I play offensive line and defensive line. As you see down here, this is my coach, Coach McCoy. He's a very good coach over there. You know, just going through the stuff in practice. So, yes, sir.
That's Debo. That's what we're going to call him. Apparently, yeah. So yeah. No, appreciate that. If you want to go ahead, KJ, and same thing, kind of introduce yourself and give us a little bit of background on you.
Okay, so my name is Kendall Jefferson. I'm originally from Pasadena, California.
Closer.
Yeah, originally from Pasadena, California. I've been living in Montana for the last 6-7 years. That's where me and Coach O'Neill ended up coming across paths. I played football at Pasadena City College and Rocky Mountain College in Billings, Montana. It was definitely a different experience moving out to Montana, similar to what I'm coming across here in Kansas, but that makes it that much more easier to adapt to this environment.
Not as much of a culture shock.
Oh, no, not at all.
He was telling us a minute ago, Coach O'Neill, not a minute ago, a week ago.
Yeah,
Coach O'Neill, a week ago. He was telling us that it was 104 and 105 degrees in Billings, Montana, which I never knew that it got that hot
just
in
that
Montana.
One day.
Is just it just the one day?
It's just that one day.
Okay.
We'll probably get about roughly around 6 to 7 days like that per year. but predominantly is going to be in the negatives.
Would you would you say that Pasadena's weather was a little bit better than Billings' weather?
Oh, by far. Pasadena's weather is way better than Billings.
What brought you out of – did you go to high school in Pasadena?
Yes, sir.
So what brought you from all the way in Pasadena to Montana? Maybe it's not that far, but it feels like a long ways.
It's a crazy story, to be honest. So there was a lot going on in my life at the time, and I had a bunch of Division I offers, but I just couldn't take those at the time being regarding more schooling. And I was just like, yeah, let's just go somewhere where I need it, where I'm wanted, for one, and that they want to pay me and love me. So I ended up going to Billings. A lot of the situations that I ended up coming across in there benefited me for the long run. And
what's Billings school called?
Rocky Mountain College.
Rocky Mountain College.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain College. I just finished up my first year coaching there as a defensive assistant.
And we didn't jump into your position yet either. What position do you play?
Yeah, I want to ask you about this because I was told you're a defensive specialist.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What the hell does that mean?
DS.
So
sounds real close to BS.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. What's a DS?
We're gonna go two letters too late. We're gonna say two letters too late to that one. But a defensive specialist is a defensive back that is only predominantly playing on the defensive side of the ball in the Arena Football League. So in the Arena Football League, you're only allowed two defensive specialists per side of the ball. So it's if it's a two DSs or two OSs, that's all you're allowed or permitted per possession.
The coach was saying that your job, to me, and it does sound a little stressful, mm-hmm. and they're coming running full speed at you, with the guy in motion.
Yes, sir.
You're the guy that's covering the guy already running in full motion.
So that's my priority.
So your job is a tough job.
Yes. I wouldn't say it's easy at all.
Yeah. So just watching it live, as we've watched it over the last couple of years, it's it looks like the toughest position on the – hey, guys, nothing against you guys. But it sounds like – it looks like it's the toughest one out there.
Position, but yeah. When you get down to the linemen, hey, it gets tough and gritty down there.
But if we're going to be honest, it's all in the name, defensive specialist. You have to be a specialist at playing defense. So with that being said, I'm not going to say I'm that guy, but – I do love to be in that position to be able to say, oh, I got to guard the high motion guy, right, and be in a position to say, this is their number one priority. This is their number one target. They're going to be trying to come at this guy at most of the time of the game.
So do you not play much offense then?
Oh, I can play offense for sure, but that wasn't what I was asked to do when I was brought here.
Okay.
So if I understand correctly, with – the arena football rules and stuff, a lot of guys are asked to play both sides of the ball. Is that an accurate statement?
Yes, sir. That's a very accurate statement.
Okay. So you're just one of those that's not. You're paid to just play defense.
Which is lovely on my end. Which is lovely. You didn't make my job a lot harder.
Yeah, and I don't mean this to disparage your position, but I feel like the offensive line to defensive line transition maybe is a little bit easier. Yeah. I mean, I know there's differences between the two, but, I mean, a lot of
Let's meet the coach.
Okay, okay, here we go.
Yeah, let's hear what Debo got to say about this one.
All right.
When you say it like that.
We're meeting another man
here.
You
know, it gets a little difficult.
All right, hold on, Debo. So the mic just got passed to you, we'll get back to it. So we got to let him calm down a little bit. I fired him up a little bit.
Let's let him introduce yourself and introduce yourself and tell us where
man.
You're from.
I'm a man of many names. My name is Kelvin McCoy, but I also go by Debo. I also go by Coach McCoy, and I also go by Big Mac. Most of these names have came with me through my childhood. I developed Debo when I really started playing arena football, and it kind of just stuck with me. The coaching aspect is because I've been coaching pretty much since I graduated high school, and I also kind of like help out the coaching staff here when needed help, just to try to further my career as far as the coaching aspect of it. I'm from Los Angeles, California. Born and raised, the West Coast is the best coast. I end up, and I only say this because I end up going to school in North Carolina, so I do know what it feels like to be on the other side of the coast.
Murfreesboro.
In a small town. So, you know, going from the big city to a small town was like a true culture shock. My college was surrounded by cotton fields and cornfields, and I only thought you only see those in movies. So just to go through that experience coming from the city, you know, it was just, like I said, a big culture shock. I managed to get through that. Graduated there with a BS in psychology, minor in criminal justice. And that kind of led me, which is so crazy, kind of led me to teaching SPED, which is special ed for those who don't know. And that's kind of really been where I'm at. And I just like shaping the future in younger guys and creating a new life for people. So that's where I've been at. Now, back to your question, though. Cause, see, I ain't forget that. Yeah. Back to this question now. So, I mean, you were to think it would be an easy transition for an offensive lineman to go to defense, but it's two different types of technique. And majority of the time when most of us are one-sided players, or we've played more mm-hmm. one side throughout college, so we've gotten used to and conditioned our body to move a certain way. So to ask someone now as an adult to really relearn how to move your body a different way and then halfway through go back to your original way kind of gets a little difficult. Plus, I mean, it's never easy to move a 300-pound person. So, you know, I ain't got nothing against these DBs. They do have a hard job because, I mean, chasing a guy running 4-4 backwards, I'm not doing it. But at the same time, they can't move no 300-pound person like I can.
As you can tell by looking at me, I was never an offensive or defensive lineman, so I'm just going to have to take your word for that.
Hey, you know, listen, I can show you what it feels like, you know. just imagine someone hitting your body every play, whether it's run, pass, whether it's special teams. You know, we don't get a break like some skills get.
They actually get a break. When you're on defense, you're hitting, and on offense, you're –
hitting.
You're still hitting. No, you're not just hitting. Receiving.
We still hitting. I mean, that's why, like, my guy Tracy Brooks, he calls me his bodyguard. You know, and that's what I'm really known for, to just be the bodyguard, the protector. My goal is to, I mean, in the past has been to protect the quarterback and give the running back his opportunities to shine. Now being on the defensive side, I mean, I've taught myself how to beat the defensive guy. So now I just got to teach myself how to beat myself.
Well, when you were in college, were you an offensive lineman?
Yeah, full-fledged. Okay. But I played all five positions.
So you've kind of felt like you knew what those guys were trying to do to you.
Oh, for sure. But at the same time in college, once again, I was always in the coach's room. Like, I've always knew I wanted to be a coach. So I'm in there trying to learn not only the offensive schemes, but the defensive schemes.
Right.
My first college coaching job happened to be on the defensive side, where I actually coached the D-line at Whittier College. And that kind of opened my eyes to a lot of experience. So now, for me, it's kind of an easier transition because I'm just doing what I've taught my players to do.
Yeah. Pika, when you were in college, the offensive line?
Yes, sir. I was an offensive tackle. I played all five positions as well.
Creed Humphreys.
Yes, sir.
You kind of.
Oh God, here we go.
No, you know, my favorite players. I'm an Oklahoma Sooner dude, so of course I've always loved Creed Humphreys. And Creed Humphreys only grew up not very far from where I grew up, so I love him. But my favorite lineman in the world is Trent Williams.
Okay,
for the 49ers.
I respect that.
And
I
always look at Trent Williams and go.
I respect that.
And I know what I always go. What if Trent Williams would have played offense and defense? He'd kill some people.
I respect that. Now, I'm going to one-up you on this lineman thing now because they got this one guy.
You can't one-up Trent Williams.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Let me tell you.
Who is he?
Let me tell you. It's this one guy nobody paid attention to, and he used to play for this team that got a star on the back. His name is Larry Allen. If you don't know who he is, he's the best
Allen.
Lineman to touch the game.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Hey, coach, we talking linemen. You can't mention a lineman without mentioning Larry Allen.
So now that we're off of the OU offensive lineman, I got a question for you, KJ.
Yes, sir.
So we were looking at your bio, and I thought maybe this was a when as I was typing some of this stuff out, that it was a spell check thing, but it's not. I looked it up. Tucson Sugar Skulls.
Yes, sir.
What the hell is a sugar skull?
I honestly don't know what the sugar skull is.
But if I had a guess, I would say that it would be something to do with the Day of the Dead. Because all the people out there in Arizona, that was all that they had was Dia de Muertos. So it's Day of the Dead in Spanish.
Huh. No, I saw that, and I was like, what in the heck is a sugar skull? So I had to go check to make sure that that wasn't like something else, and it changed it on me. So that's interesting. So, hey, let's talk some things here. Let's talk some arena football with you guys. And Pete, we'll start with you. It's been a little while since you've had a mic in front of you. But so what do you think are some of the most important skills that you need to have to succeed in this league?
Well,
I know I'm going to make you think a little bit here. Sorry. It's a little late.
The three most important skills to have in this league is number one is to have a hard working ethic. You know, that's just always good to have in a great football player. And then number two is to be conditioned when you come into camp. You can't just come in camp thinking you're going to be the man and you're just not going to be conditioned. That's not going to go well for the team. And so it'll just help out a long way, help out the team. And then, you know,
So over the winter, were you working out?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure getting after it.
Christmas and Thanksgiving and all that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was getting after it. My brother, he plays for the Carolina Panthers right now. He's an outside linebacker. And so I worked out with him. And then I worked out with my other younger brother as well. He plays for Yale football. So, you know, I just have a lot of connections that I can.
Is there a chance your little brother's the smartest one in the family?
He is. I will say this. He is the smartest one in the family. Yes, sir.
What position does the brother play?
They're both defensive players.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Debo, I'm going to ask you the same question to you from the coaching side, though.
Oh, Lord.
What do you think are some of the
mental
skills you need to have?
Biggest skill that we need to have, first off, is formulate this in the right words. As much as people don't think this is a skill, we need some folks to just come in with some common sense. And just understanding, like, just basic things. The biggest thing that we forget about sometimes is the mental part of the game. Physicality is only like 10%. The rest is all mental. So if we have to come in with the mindset able to take in information, able to receive this information, be able to put it back out. I think a lot of people take their talents over their mindset, and that kind of hurts them in the long run. Yeah. So I think a lot of the biggest part of it is just coming mentally prepared, because you don't know what you're going to face in this arena ball. Each teams are different. Every operation organization is ran different. So you just definitely.
This new league is going to be a higher level of talent? This new league.
Oh, for sure.
You'll see something different than you saw last year.
Oh yes. Oh yeah, that's a guaranteed. I mean, I'm seeing it now on our team. The difference in the players that's coming in, and of course me being the older guy now. Oh Lord, me being the older guy now.
We call
it's
that
like,
a veteran,
right? Yeah. I call it. Man, I just want to go back to me being in my 20s. You know, but me seeing these younger guys come in and actually understanding the talent level that these guys possess, it's like, it's amazing to see, you know, just over the years seeing the different type of talent coming in. And these guys are willing to learn, man. They're open-minded. They're trying to understand the game. They're trying to get to know the difference in outdoor and indoor. And as long as they keep striving to do that, I mean, that's the best skill you can have right there.
How many years now are experience you have in the indoor football league?
Yeah, so this will be going on my 8th year. All my years have been with Coach O. So everything I've learned has pretty much come from him. We've went from Dodge City together to Salina and been here ever since. I've seen 4 championship games with him, right. And I won one with him. So we got a chance to actually celebrate.
Kendall, how many years have you been playing professional football?
So this is going into my 3rd year playing professional indoor football. Like he said, I played for the Tucson Sugar Skulls in 2022 briefly. The year prior, I mean in 2023, the year briefly in 2022, I played for the Quad City Steamwheelers. I was actually able to replicate something that they had here. Myself, that year, we went to the national championship in the IFL. It was definitely a blessing. It was a big experience for me. And unfortunately, I didn't come up on the winning side. So
you don't get a ring for second place.
Yeah, you don't get a ring for second place. So
well, you did not.
I learned to win. I learned to join the winning team, and that's why I'm here in Salina with Coach O. And
I like to hear that.
Oh, I've had 3 years of experience, same as KJ. First year playing with Green Bay, the Blizzard, in the indoor football league.
That's an appropriate name for Green Bay.
Yes, sir. It was. Being up there, it was very different. People up there, they love to drink, and very cold
cheese
outside.
Cheese and beer.
Yep. cheese was very good.
Yeah.
Yep. And I actually played against KJ my first year. He remembers me coming around on the screenplay. They called a screenplay. Luckily, he was able to dodge me, but I was coming up to get him. But he was smart enough to get out of my way. So,
so in a town like Green Bay,
yeah,
we all know it's all football.
Yeah,
did you get the fan turnout in your
league
as well?
Oh yeah. So fans turned out every week, and I think we won like the fans won like three trophies for having the. Most sold
attendance.
Yeah. Yeah, most attendance as well.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess I until you asked that question, I didn't really think about that. But, yeah, I mean, there's not much else to do in Green Bay. It's eat cheese, drink beer, and watch football.
Cheese, drink football.
Sorry, we don't have a lot of listeners in Green Bay, so I don't feel like I offended anybody.
Your season ends up being the same as it is here.
Yes.
Your March, April, May. Mm-hmm. So you get all those Green Bay fans that just fall back in love with just keep watching football all year long.
Yeah.
Okay. Then that's what you know. What that's what we're wanting in Salina. Mm-hmm. We're wanting the crowd. You know, Salina's always had a decent crowd, but never fills the whole joint up. That's what we're wanting to get to, and you know the next level that we're wanting to get to, and that's what we want to get you guys to know people in town. We want to know Coach O'Neill better.
Well, I think if it's any year to do it, it should be this year to do it. You know, great year to do it. The NFL Network is coming out.
Yeah.
We got all these television broadcasting our games, and then just great players. And then just backing off of what Debo said about the talent, I think this year is like the most amount of talent that I've seen in my professional arena football career. And just like
of people just trying out,
yeah, and just people trying out, and then just the size of the people. I mean, we got guys who weigh 370 pounds, 380 pounds, 390. I'm like, dang,
that can really run.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's. I mean, and honestly, that's really exciting to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were talking to Coach O, I mean, I'm a outside of my college years, I'm a lifelong Salina guy.
Mm-hmm.
Followed the team, mm-hmm. It's exciting for – I've only seen the Salina team and the teams that Salina has played in the CIFL over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So to hear you guys who are like – you've been through different leagues and different teams and all that kind of stuff to say that stuff really gets me jacked up for it. And that's what we're trying to, you know, kind of, I guess, help out. Right.
Yes, sir.
Is that, you know, this isn't – what we've seen in the past. This isn't what you know we've had in the past. This is a different level, and really, really excited about
that.
Well,
we really appreciate you promoting us out there as well.
So, all right. Well, let's talk about you know, one of the questions we asked Coach O, I'll ask you guys, and we can start and move down the line here. But the question that we asked him was about crazy fan encounters. I don't know what it is, and I'm not going to say I'm perfect with this, but I don't know what it is about the people that think I bought a ticket, so I have the ability to say or do whatever I want.
Okay, the difference in arena football is, if anybody that's not been to an arena football game yet, is the fans are right in your face.
Yes.
The players can be right back in their face.
Yes.
Whatever it is. So you're going to have a different interaction than you have at any other event outside of maybe hockey or basketball. It's right on the.
I've been,
but hockey maybe is more of a.
Well, there's a glass wall.
Right,
you know,
there's
hockey.
No wall.
And I don't.
No wall.
I can say this: there's not a player that probably doesn't like me, but I guarantee there's a referee that doesn't like me that I've had conversations
down
with
the line.
In the
whoever
past.
Wants to start on this, tell us about
a fan interaction
that you've.
Man, I go on for days about different fans interactions. I mean, the one thing I do love about fans interaction, especially like at home games in TPEC, is when all the kids come around. They're screaming your name. They want your autograph. They want your glove. They, you know what I'm saying? They just want to be a part of exactly what we have going on. And me personally, that's who I do it for. You know what I mean? I love to give those fans that experience. I grew up watching arena ball in LA, watching the Los Angeles Avengers go, and just seeing all of that football and understanding how they were reacting to interacting with fans. And that just told me, like, man, I wish I could do more, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could do more. I wish my intro could come from the stands with the fans, mm-hmm. you know, instead of being on the field. But we do allow fans to run out with us at our intro. A lot of kids come down there. We have a kids tunnel. So parents, please bring your kids to the games so they can get to understand how us professionals move and act. Give them that front row view of everything. Of course, you guys go to Kansas City games, but you can't get that same interaction like you can with us. So,
right.
You know, I just love it all, honestly. Now, you get some crazies when you go away games. They might talk a little crazy to
Kevin
you.
Kevin was trying to roll into what was a crazy fan interaction.
You guys start off shouting out to my good fans.
Coach O told us in the last podcast we had that he has a fan at
Dodge City.
That really rips him. Rips him good.
So
if you guys have got a similar interaction somewhere.
Frank is our guy. Right, because we started off in Dodge City.
Yep.
So he was one of the first real fans I've actually met. And he's a great guy, but Frank's a rider for his team. And he going to talk his talk for his team. Now, it's all love. It's all love. And like I said, Frank's my guy. But, if you're a real fan, Frank's a real fan. And I do appreciate that about him. And sometimes you need a little bit of that heckle. You know what I'm saying? To get you fired up and stuff like that. And we've been to different places all the time where fans don't approve, just don't like how our swag, how we move around, and they just trying to get in our heads. You know, we're like the Cowboys of indoor football, but we actually win.
Oh,
and the Cowboys my team, but listen, I have to tell it the truth. You know, we actually win here. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're the most hated, but we're gonna come and give you exactly what you're looking for—an excited game with high caliber.
All right, Pika, give us your crazy fan encounter.
I haven't really had any crazy fan encounters.
Well, that's boring.
Yeah, come I know, on. Right? have you, KJ?
Yeah, KJ, you got one?
I'm not even gonna lie. It was the Eastern Conference Championship in 2022. We're in Frisco, Texas. This is the third time we're playing this organization this season. We are 0-2 against them, and I have a fan just going bonkers, literally telling me my socks are too heavy, my jersey's too big. I'm looking at the guy like, there's no way, because if you look up at the scoreboard, you haven't scored a touchdown on me yet. So with that being said, that was one of the first crazy, like, encounters. And then going back to Billings last year in Billings, I'm not going to lie, those fans are reckless. Hands down, they go hard for their organization. And that's exactly what I anticipate when I step into TPEC for the first time on April
28th.
April 28th.
So you're saying in Billings, the fans turn out well.
Oh, they turn out well, but I don't think they have anything on TPEC, though.
Is your stadiums bigger, smaller? Is it a more condensed area on some of these away games?
I would say it's bigger, but again, at the same time, they're not as loyal and as aggravating. Because as a player, you don't want to hear somebody heckling you too much, you know? Like, here and there, hey. But at the same time, it's just like, I just want to give back to the kids in the community, back to Big Debo said. I just want to give back to the kids, give high fives, sign autographs, and just give back to the kids. But then we got older grandpas and aunties.
Yeah.
It's a whole different situation, and that's...
We'll get into this in a minute. Your parents get to come and see you ever play? Your grandparents, aunts, uncles, anything like that?
So my my rookie season, I got to play a game at the Las Vegas Nighthawks. We was playing in the IFL, and I'm from California, so my parents were able to drive right up.
Okay. Yep.
And then in the national championship game in 2022, my parents were able to come. But besides that, I haven't had any of my parents at any of my college games or my professional games.
Pika, you're from Asheville, North Carolina. So tell me a little story. I'm going to give you the mic. Tell me. You said you have a brother in the NFL, another brother at Yale. What's your family experience? Are they able to travel with you, see any of your games or anything? And I'm going to give him the mic, let him talk.
They are able to travel to my games. They'll choose about like 4 to 5 games to come to. They'll drive instead of fly. They love to drive. One time we drove all the way from North Carolina to California in 1 week. And so that just tells you about how much they love to drive everywhere. Yes, sir.
And they want to come and watch you play.
Yeah, they love to come and watch us play and succeed in our sport. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Oh, I guess it's my turn, huh? So listen, like, it's so crazy you talk about family and actually coming. So my actual first year going to Dodge City, my family actually drove out there. We actually took the road trip to get there. Actually, my first 3 years, my family
from
California, honestly. So my first 3 years from California, me and my family would rent a van and we drove here the first time. So Dodge City, Salina, and they come every year and they take the road trip every year. Oh my God, I love it. We're big on road trips, so we're taking road trips every year. I don't think they actually missed a season where they haven't at least caught at least one game. And they don't mind taking the drive to Salina to actually come and check it out. They've met the people in town, they met the ownership group, they met coach. This year we plan on going to Oregon. You know what I mean?
So that's the biggest, close to the West Coast.
It's the closest and it's the new road trip for them. So I mean, they're already planning it up. They're already trying to get to figure out who's all going to be in the car, how many cars they're going to take. So I'm just excited, man. I love when my family come and see me play. I don't think they miss a season. At least my dad and my brother, for sure. I don't think they miss a season at all.
It makes me think about something that I never even thought of until just this moment. With the CIFL and the Liberty in the past, it makes sense that all of your games are in the Midwest, right? I mean, it's close. You're taking buses. You know that there's costs to consider. So it makes sense. But now, with the new league that we're in and playing coast to coast, north
for sure.
to south, and bringing in all these guys from all these places, that you have family that has an opportunity to see you that normally wouldn't. I mean, when you're playing Dodge City, Wichita, Texas, I mean, somebody from the East Coast or the West Coast is going to be there. I never even really thought about that from a player standpoint, that this new league and being stretched out gives you a lot more opportunity.
Oh, man,
for that.
Listen, you got some players here that's from the South, and we actually have a game down there in Louisiana. So those people who are from the South, Alabama, mm-hmm. Arkansas, you know, those areas down there, they get a chance to have their families actually come to the Louisiana game.
Yeah, that's cool.
And like I said, for us West Coast kids, Oregon is one of the closest games for us. So it allows our parents and stuff to get there. And just the Midwest, you know, some people don't mind the travel. Some people want to see new things. I mean, that's the best thing about football is the travel and actually going to see new places and new states and new areas and just getting to learn. I mean, I've traveled probably to 30 states just due to football, just football alone, you know what I mean? So
what is your favorite? What's your favorite place to be? Favorite place to go? Favorite place to play? Everybody tell me this story.
That's a toughie. Oh, man. Favorite place to go and play. Go and play or just go?
We'll mix it up.
We'll mix it up.
Your
what
choice.
What do you love to go play at, and then where you want to go? Where do you love to go
see? I mean,
see?
I'm going
to
be honest with you guys. So I'm a football guy, right? And if anybody know football, they know there's only one state that football is major. It's major heavy, and it's football country, and that separates the real from the fake out there in football. And
Kansas.
it's always been my goal
to
play football.
He's really building it up.
At the highest level, like, and don't get me wrong, I'm from California, so you know we get guys out there to the NFL level. We got real guys, you know what I mean? But
this is only an hour podcast. You got to get to it.
Hey, listen, you already said it. I'm going to Texas. It's, you know, listen, Texas have been, and I love Texas because Texas gives you a little bit of both. It gives you a little bit of the Midwest. It gives you a little bit of the West Coast, and it gives you a little bit of the South. And great food. So, you know, plus everything's bigger in Texas. Now, there's some Texas still got a little couple of question marks, you know, because the state itself would be a little questionable. But as far as me and just being a football guy, and I feel like
he's coming from California.
Hey, you know, but listen, like, once again, football out there is treated different. You know, California is great for football, yeah, but we also have hoopers.
Yeah, there's
we
plenty
also have
of other
baseball yeah. players. We also have track stars, and you know, those kind of take their own league in California. But yep, in Texas, every sport you play, they want you to play that so you can be better in football. And that's what I love. Like,
all right. Yep, either one of you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm like, nah, because you hit me on the nose with mine.
That's okay.
My favorite place to play would be Frisco, Texas. Oh, wait. Yeah, I would say Frisco, Texas better than Worcester, Massachusetts. But both of those two organizations, they always bring out great capacity. It's always
did you
a
just
good
say Worcester, Massachusetts?
Worcester.
Isn't that like Wooster or something like that?
Wooster? Is that how you say it? Is that how it's pronounced? Wooster?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm going to say Worcester. Yeah,
that's that California accent.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is.
Sorry, go ahead.
I swear. But, yeah, those two cities, for the first time, I had never played in those. Like, I've never went to the East Coast for Massachusetts. And then I've never been to Frisco or to Texas to play a football game. So those two times that I went to – or those three times that I went to Frisco, it was an amazing experience. It was a blessing, and it was an eye-opener because a lot of these boys, like he said, they were a lot bigger in Texas. And a lot of their roster was commenced of hometown kids.
Yep.
Tell you a little thing about Texas, and this is the thing that will just wear on you if you're from anywhere else in the country. Texas high school football stadiums are
10 times
big leagues. The Frisco high school stadium is something that most kids probably never get to play in their lives,
wow,
and it's a high school stadium seating 20 to 30,000 people.
Wow.
It's just unbelievable.
That's the nicest thing he's ever said about Texas.
Yeah.
So like the biggest high school stadium actually in the United States of America is Allen High School in Allen, Texas.
Yep.
And like their school is actually built like a college campus.
Yeah.
They have a real live calf in there that serves real food. Not to hype them up, but you know what I'm saying, cuz California's still better than Texas as far as football, but I mean, you know, we just look at the numbers. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, like, I just like how they treat, once again, how they appreciate the football.
They love it.
Out there.
Okay, Pega, we've bragged on Texas enough. Tell us your favorite place that you have played and where you maybe want to play.
One of the favorite places that I've played at would probably be in Illinois when I played against Quad City. To be honest with you, their fans showed out. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Yeah, they showed out. It was sold out, I think, when we played them, and just being in that big crowd environment, it was exciting. You know, it always excites me to play in front of a big crowd, show out, show what I got, my talent, and
Your juices flow a little better.
Makes my juices flow a little better. Makes me want to stay in the game a little more. And so, yeah, just being out there, it was nice. Nice to see that people cared about the Arena Football League, yeah, and that that they sold out. And so, yeah.
So, Moline, so we've talked about that a couple of times here. So, Quad Cities,
yes,
and
sir.
I've traveled there for work. We were talking about this with Coach O. Did you ever make it to Cedar Rapids?
Yes, sir.
So,
Iowa.
So I learned when I went there for work, and Coach O didn't know this, it's called the City of Seven Smells.
Oh, wow. Wasn't aware.
Okay, well, did you spend a lot of time in Cedar Rapids?
No, we were in Davenport for the most part.
Okay. Yeah, because we were talking about it earlier, and they have, like, it's either a Post or Kellogg's or something like that factory there. And people are like, oh, they're making Cap'n Crunch today. Like, they can tell by the smell in the morning, like, what cereal they're making.
Oh, wow.
So they call it the City of Seven Smells, but I guess maybe I was going to ask you about that smell, but maybe you weren't there enough to get to enjoy that.
It wasn't pleasant.
I did smell a little something traveling into Moline Island, Illinois.
Yeah, it's called the City of Seven Smells.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You travel to Solana, you know what I'm saying? You can smell Tony's Pizza on the right time at the right time.
But you're coming from Dodge City. We can talk about other smells, too.
Yeah, like that cow smell. That's
money, buddy. That's money.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Going to Dodge was really crazy because honestly, like, so behind our stadium, they actually have the little bison back there. I don't think he's there anymore, but they had like a little bison behind the stadium, man. I used to go over there and talk to the dog. Man, I used to talk to him.
Yeah.
Like, man, because listen, I've never seen no bison or no cows these close. You know what I'm saying?
Hopefully they didn't talk back.
Not from L.A. You know what I mean? We don't see those in L.A.
So it was just so different, man, but yeah, you got great smells everywhere. Like I said, come to Solana, get you some Tony's Pizza. Yeah, I mean, you really don't have to. We in stores everywhere, by the way.
You can Tony's Pizza or Cozy Inn if you're downtown.
Oh my God, listen.
Blowing the wrong way.
You come through Solana, you don't stop by Cozy's, you're missing out.
You didn't know what you were doing.
You're missing out. Ask for every.
So that's one of our questions. So let's just roll right into this. So some of you have been at Solana longer than others, but favorite restaurant in town, if you've been able to try out some of the cuisine that we have here. So,
I haven't been able to try out too many of our sponsors so far yet. I have been able to try Hickory Hicks.
Yeah. Hickory Hut.
Hickory Hut.
Hickory Hut, yes.
Hickory Hut.
Best barbecue in town right now.
Best barbecue in town by far.
Yep, Hickory would agree Hut. With that.
I love the ribs there. Love the baked potatoes there. But if I had to say my favorite restaurant in town, it's going to be hands down Chipotle Bar and Grill.
Yeah, we got to get you out. We got to get you out more, KJ.
Well, I got to say this. We're just getting started here.
So that's what I said.
I understand.
But I had to say this because I'm a service manager for Chipotle in the off seasons, as well as being a professional coach. So
I'm an investor in Chipotle, and the stock has done well the last few years.
Love to hear that. Yes, sir.
Same here. Your favorite food. My favorite food restaurant in town would be Freddy's.
It's good.
Man, I haven't.
Locally owned, too.
Yeah, I haven't had Freddy's anywhere else, and it's just.
Yep.
Man, it tastes so good. Yeah, of course. I got the shake. I put some peanut butter in there and some Reese's. Yeah,
that texture, man, that custard. So we talk a lot about food on this podcast.
I mean, listen, you're talking to the right person here.
Big fella.
Debo's been here for years, so let's go.
Listen, I have nothing against Freddy's, but Dodge City kind of wore me out with Freddy's. We were going through it a little bit there, and that's all we were able to eat at the meantime was Freddy's, was what the team was serving us. So I'm kind of like worn out of that, but I mean, we talking food in town, man, I can go for days. Like, each spot has their perfect food for me. Like, he already mentioned Hickory Hut, and that's my barbecue spot.
Is Hickory Hut beans not the best beans you've ever had in your life?
Well, I don't know, man. If you came to my mama's kitchen, you might taste some better beans one time.
Or if you stepped into my kitchen.
So, but best spot, listen, we're gonna talk all day, because see, these I can't say one without others, because all of these food spots, we have a relationship. You know what I mean? So, like, my number one food spot in town is going to be the Blind Pig. One, first of all, the ownership there and the people there, amazing. I love it. They're going to treat you well. The price. The wings. They got the best wings in town. And if you want to argue it, we can argue it. Any bar, restaurant you want to talk about, hey, listen, I'm a food guy. Put your wings on the table, and I'll show you. The Blind Pig has the best wings.
Apparently, we need to go try some wings at the Blind
Pig. Yes, hey, please go Monday. So on Monday, they have wings half off. Once again, that's one of my biggest.
We'll
that's
give
one
it
of
a
my
shot.
Biggest places there, man. Blind Pig. You gotta go down there and show some love down there to Miss Denise. Like I said, she has the best wings in town. Get some garlic sriracha if you like a little spicy. She gonna get you right.
I've gone there. I had brunch there once, but I've never tried food there.
Oh, yeah, brunch there is awesome.
I've hit Hong Kong. Huh?
Oh, Hong Kong.
Hong Kong buffet.
I love it.
Yeah.
Hong Kong's pretty good, too, man. I love that place. I haven't been there yet, since I've been back, but.
You guys are staying in the same neighborhood out there, right beside each other.
Yeah.
And then the other barbecue, so there's three in a row there, right?
Eight, whatever.
So, yeah. But the buffet is good. And then tell us a couple more places.
Probably a couple more places.
Hey, don't worry, I got you, Pika. Like I said, we could talk food places all day. So if you don't want to go to a Blind Pig and get you some wings and go over there off the highway to this special place called Russell's. Russell's have great proportions. They're gonna get full going to Russell's. Let me tell you that right now. My guy Dan, he's a big supporter of our team. And he definitely get everyone, man, he makes sure I love it there. Like,
I feel like these guys have already gone through orientation or told what to say.
This is the thing here. You start talking about food, and like I said, me and these food sponsors. When I say me and these food sponsors are like tight, we're tight. So that's why I say I can't shout out.
They know Debo when he walks in.
Oh yeah. Man, listen, I walk into Taco John's down there, close to Poncho's.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Oh my God, I know everyone in there.
And see, nobody said Poncho's.
So this is my thing about this. This is my thing now. Listen.
Ponchos is really good.
I don't mind ponchos. You know, I just keep my mouth closed.
Okay, guys,
I'm gonna pass it around. We were talking about we're gonna end at 55.
We're almost
there. I wanna just ask you guys. You're almost like my father-in-law. Spent his life living in hotels. He worked for Phillips 66 companies and traveled around the country and lived in hotels. You guys are kind of in that situation when you come to this town. Tell us what's the life
in a hotel
down the line, and I'm gonna give you everybody a chance. Just watch.
They all hang out in the pool.
So honestly, the best way to put this, living in a hotel situation for us, it's like playing college football without the college. We don't have to deal with the school part of it. It's like 25 gentlemen staying in the dorm room. We try to treat it as such. Obviously, there's rules and regulations because we are staying in a hotel.
Yeah.
So we just treat it like it. Like I said, it's like living in college without the school.
Do you all live in the same hotel?
Yes, we're all in the same hotel except for Debo. He's a local in town, so.
Okay, you got to tell me what the hell that means.
We are at the Super 8, 120 East Diamond Drive.
Yep.
So I love it out there, actually, because me and KJ, we have our single rooms. And so, yeah.
So you said that. You have your single room. So not everybody has a single room?
Not everybody has a single room.
Is that a contract negotiation?
I'll answer this one. It's still waiting to be determined on final cuts.
Okay. But we did talk about that, yeah.
So it's still a work in progress.
So you'll get there.
Still a work in progress,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Has anybody met any pretty girls in Solani?
Hey, I'll go ahead and answer this one. We do not go out looking for women. I'm here to play football and be good for the community.
They've been through orientation. This is what you say. This is what
you
don't
say. We're not going to trick anybody here. You know, tonight we were going to have some video, and some guys came out and videoed a little bit. Katie Yunk is the marketing director for the team, and
she's
been doing a great job. And you know, everybody loves Katie.
Amazing,
but she's missed us tonight. We hate that. We wish she could have been here to video.
Not really.
For us.
I mean, I know where she's at right now. I don't feel bad about it.
She's traveling and wasn't able to make it tonight. But we, there's a lot of people that are involved in this community that are full in for you guys.
For sure.
Believe it or not, Miss Katie is going to be great for you guys. Sam's great for you guys. You already know Coach O's great for you guys. And what we're trying to do as a, you know, just a little Philip and Kevin project. Sorry, Kevin and Philip project.
Yeah, okay, I've done that.
Or was
before.
That? Keith?
Oh, God. Did Kay got
it's Keith. It's Keith now. Yeah.
But what we're trying to do is get the support behind you guys. Yes. That's what we want to do.
Yep.
We want people to know you in town. We want you guys to come out here to Great Life on a night that you're not doing something. See us. Come see us. Get to know everybody in town.
He acts like we're here all the time. Just this is where you'll find
other
us.
It's not just us two, but you just there's guys that are in here playing shuffleboard right now that come to your games. They need to know you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
I mean,
and Katie's done a really good job with that, I think.
Yeah. And once again, we definitely want to give a shout-out to Katie. First off, we want to wish her safe travels to Italy, making sure she gets there and back safely. That is a long flight, and I can only imagine. But she's done an amazing job of connecting us with the community and letting this be known out on social media platforms and giving us another chance to just show face to everyone. So, man, listen, without Katie, I think a lot of things would not be as efficient as it is right now. Because, once again, I've been here for 7 years. This is my first podcast.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I've been on a radio show before with the coaches show, but it's actually our first podcast. We actually getting good videos and pictures for practice and just events and things like that. So, I mean, we're very fortunate to have her, and we wish her to stay around for as many years as possible.
No, and I think, I mean, again, as being a lifelong Salina guy, I think that's key, and I think it's been missing. And I like the direction it's going. I like what you guys are doing, and like Philip said, we're just trying to help out and be a part of that because it is a really cool thing that we have in Salina, and I think it's elevated from where it's been in the past. And I think people need to know that, and they don't right now. And so we're doing what we can to help out. But definitely appreciate you guys coming on here with us.
Appreciate you having us.
As we talked to Coach O.
Well, appreciate you having us.
Yeah, absolutely. But we definitely, if you guys need something, let us know. You want to come on another podcast, do it. But, you know, we got about 5 minutes or so here. How we end our podcast when we have guests is you got the floor. So you got a couple minutes. If there's anything you want to tell the people out there that listen to this podcast, it's all yours, man.
I mean, first off, we want to tell them, please show up not only this Saturday to our scrimmage game, but on the 28th. We want to pack that house for NFL Network. We want to get everyone a chance to be on TV. You know, not everyone has the opportunities to drive to Kansas City and go see the Chiefs play. Well, you have a chance to see your professional team play right here in town with for you. So just please come out to Tony Pizza Event Center. And come check us out on the 28th at 6:30. After that, man, we love you. We need you.
Look for Debo at all the restaurants.
Hey, listen, I'm always at every restaurant. You know, for some of you guys, I've probably taught your kids in school. If not, coach your kid at Central. So, hey, listen, I'm always in town. You guys know where to find me.
Hey. You're a coach at Central?
I did last year. I coached at Central.
Okay, we got to talk offline.
Oh, Lord.
Offline.
KJ, anything you want to say?
You're pulling me off the air to talk.
I just wanted to say thank you guys for having us. I appreciate you guys. We just want to give back to the community, give back to the organization. Thank you guys for everything that you guys do for us and trying to continue to build what we're trying to do here. It's a great situation that we got for us. Thank you.
And I also wanted to back off of KJ and Debo and say it is a very great situation that we are very fortunate to be here, very blessed. And so I just want to tell all the fans out there just to come out to the games and show out. It's going to be a very special year, very talented team, NFL level elite talent. I'm ballsy enough to say that. So, yeah.
No, I love it, man. Yes, like I said, it's
love it.
It's pretty exciting. So,
hey, I'm going to tell you something. It's an honor for me. Every time you meet a professional athlete, I don't care what level you're at, you're a hell of a lot better than I ever was.
Thank you.
And
thank
so
you.
I love to see you guys, and I want to come out and watch you guys play as much as I can. You know, me and Kevin have talked about it a couple times. The time of year. I said this last podcast we had, the time of year I like to go boating.
Oh, wow.
So sometimes it's tough that time of year.
But decision making.
Yeah, it's a decision. I love the Sunday night game, the first game. I want all the fans to come out and see that.
Please.
But I'm going to tell you something. It's an honor to meet you guys. Appreciate you being here with us. Me and Kevin,
yes,
you know, it's
thank
you're as good for us as hopefully we are for you. And and thanks for being here with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having us. We appreciate it.
Yep. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll be back in a couple weeks.
Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Philip Project Podcast. If you would like more information about our podcast, guests, and to join in on the discussion, please visit our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Kevin Philip Project. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to our podcast and tell your friends about us.